Please stand clear of the doors. Por favor, manténganse alejado de las puertas.
Cause this here's the wildest ride in the wilderness.
Hello everybody, I'm Alicia.
And I'm Nathan.
Welcome to episode 124 of Adventures and Mousecapades.
This week, is that you, Spring? For the first time in forever, it's actually been sunny and warm here in Seattle. Spring has sprung, and flowers are blooming, the leaves are green, and noses are running. Thank you, Zyrtec, for keeping me functional.
It's glad I don't have that problem.
Oh, it's so rough.
But seriously, this week we're going to talk about the beautiful city of Victoria, British Columbia, up there in Canada. They're touching us. This is a frequent stop on cruises to Alaska, thanks to something called the Jones Act. If you're not familiar with it, the Merchant Marine Act of 1920 says that if you're going to transport goods or people between U.S. ports, like, say, between Seattle and Alaska, you have to be on a U.S.-built, owned, and operated ship. None of these things are true for the vast majority of modern cruise ships, so that's why cruises here in the Pacific Northwest, including Disney Cruise Line, often use Victoria as a port of call.
Now, don't get us wrong, it's not a bad thing. Victoria is absolutely beautiful, and thanks to us living here in the upper left USA, a place we've been to many times, including a few weeks ago to celebrate our daughter's birthday. So this week, we thought we'd dive into Victoria and share some tips on things you might want to do if you happen to be in town, you know, for a day on a Disney cruise to Alaska or Hawaii or wherever you may be traversing the globe someday soon.
Of course, these tips will work with other cruise lines as well, but double check your itinerary because we have heard of several cruises using Victoria as a technical stop, as in technically they're stopping, but you're a shore time, maybe 7 p.m. and you're all aboard is midnight. So
yeah, it's
not really time to do anything other than say, "Ooh, look, it's pretty."
Yeah, exactly. Victoria is the capital city of British Columbia, Canada, much to the surprise of many who figured it would have been its much bigger brother over in the mainland called Vancouver. There's 92,000 residents of Victoria, and they live on the southern tip of Vancouver Island. Again, don't get confused with the city. That's still over on the mainland. It's about 21 miles north of Port Angeles, Washington. That's 34 kilometers for those of you with a normal system of weights and measures. Across the Strait of Juan de Fuca, part of the Salish Sea that connects Seattle and Vancouver to the Pacific Ocean. Speaking of Vancouver, Victoria is actually about 100 kilometers, that's 60 miles in freedom units, south of Vancouver. It's actually further south than a good chunk of Washington State, including Bellingham, where our daughter Caitlin goes to Western Washington University.
While the First Nations people have lived in the area for over 4,000 years, the British, quote-unquote, discovered the place in 1843 when the Hudson's Bay Company realized that what is today Vancouver, Washington, was likely going to be a part of the United States someday and needed a new home base for their fur trading. It was named for Queen Victoria, and it was pretty small until it boomed as a supply center for the Fraser River Gold Rush of 1858. And Queen Victoria never did get to visit beautiful Victoria, BC.
Numerous other kings and queens and princes have. Today, Victoria is a bustling city with an absolutely gorgeous waterfront, surrounded by stunning architecture, highlighted by the BC Parliament Building and the Fairmont Empress Hotel. Downtown has a lot to offer and is easily walkable, and you can also grab a little harbor ferry to whisk you around to various stops.
If you're coming from a cruise ship, you'll pull into the commercial port that's around the point from the Inner Harbor. Thankfully, there is a little shuttle bus that drops you off right in front of the Empress for just a few dollars round trip. This is our biggest recommendation, unless you're on a shore excursion offered through your cruise line. It's really calling your name.
Yeah.
Just hop the shuttle for a quick 5-minute trip to the heart of it all.
Yeah. And if you're visiting on your own from not a cruise ship, there's lots of ways to get to Victoria. You can take a commercial airliner. The BC Ferries has a car ferry service from Vancouver. It's about a 90-minute passage. It's absolutely gorgeous. Goes through all sorts of islands and things like that. And then it's about a 30-35-minute drive to get downtown. There's a Victoria Clipper. It's a high-speed catamaran passenger ferry from downtown Seattle. There's a Blackball ferry that runs from Port Angeles over on the U.S. on the Olympic Peninsula. And there's even seaplanes that land right there in the harbor.
We've done a BC Ferry car ferry service from Vancouver. And we've also done the Victoria Clipper from Seattle.
Both are excellent.
Mm-hmm. Lots of folks love to do shore excursions that may include a visit to Bouchard Gardens, which is about a 30-minute bus ride away. It is absolutely stunning, or so we've heard. We haven't been there because there is not enough medication in the world for me to be able to go there and not get a migraine. I'm really quite bummed about that because I've heard it is just visually stunning, but I know I will not do well and I will be out of commission for the rest of the day and then the following day. So
yeah, same thing with all the like the famous tulip festivals and everything that goes on up north of us. Everybody's like, oh, let's go see the flowers, and we're like, no.
Maybe if I wear like a respirator or something, I
could gas mask. Our favorite places in Victoria are mostly there around the Inner Harbor, and note that we used a U in the spelling of harbor because, you know, Canadian. Mm-hmm. We love the Fairmont Empress Hotel. Lots of stuff to do there. We'll talk about that here in a little bit. There's the Royal BC Museum. This is absolutely fantastic, especially for kiddos. There's Miniature World. There's the Victoria Bug Zoo, which...
Oh, yeah, Nathan loves that. I thought it was really interesting and cool, and so did the kids.
It's a thing. There's horse-drawn carriage tours. There's a double-decker bus tour, kind of one of those hop-on, hop-off buses. Just note that a lot of those buses don't have a roof on the upper story. So
and it can get cold.
It can get really cold up there. Like we mentioned, there's a harbor taxi. There's all these little boats that whisk you around to all points around the water. There's tons of restaurants, lots of shopping. There's a marina walk down by the seawall in the summer when it's really nice out. There's lots of artists and vendors out there down by the water. The Parliament building is open for tours usually during the week, or you could just hang out on the lawn. It's absolutely stunning. The architecture is amazing of that building. And we learned something, a little interesting fact. The architect who designed that place, it was one of his, I think, his first big jobs. He kind of conned his way into it. And he didn't really feel the need to completely pay attention when everything was being built. And they laid the foundation backwards. And so instead of having this building face the water, it actually faces inland. And once he realized it, it was too late. So it's...
This is meant to be like this.
It's meant... I think they kind of zhuzhed up the back of the building a little bit since it was going to be facing that way rather permanently. But it's an interesting quirk, we'll say.
Yes.
There's the Prince of Wales. This is not the royal guy, but this is a whale watching tour that runs almost all year round, I do believe. They have all sorts of boats that go out from the Inner Harbor right there. And there's also, we haven't been to this one, but we hear it's amazing, the Maritime Museum of British Columbia.
We haven't been to the Miniature World either.
That's true. That's true. We have been to Madame Tussauds, but that doesn't exist anymore.
I haven't been to Madame Tussauds.
I thought we have. Oh, wait. I'm maybe thinking of London.
London, yeah.
Oh, never mind. Strike that from the record.
Well, doesn't exist anyway.
Exactly. I mean, Madame Tussauds did exist. It exists no longer, at least in Victoria.
Yeah. There's also other stuff around town that we've gone to and we recommend, and that is Fisherman's Wharf. It's a little shopping area, has restaurants and houseboats. It's really quite pretty. There's a lot of bright colors for the houseboats and just kind of a fun little area to go around.
And you can definitely take a water taxi from the inner harbor around the point over to Fisherman's Wharf. So it's a really cool way to see lots of different sights from the water.
A little farther away is Craigdarroch Castle. I know I did not say that right. I am not Scottish.
Exactly. Scottish.
Yeah, Scottish, even though I have red hair. This castle is really, really cool to see.
Yeah.
There's so much wood in there. It is very ornate, exquisitely carved, and apparently it's haunted too.
Yes. Well, I think most everything in Victoria is haunted.
People have heard a piano when there's no piano.
Bum, bum, bum.
And of course, Beacon Hill Park is a very large park up there. Yes. It's 183 acres of trees and wildflower fields, lakes, ponds, really.
Yeah.
recreation and conservation. There's a small petting zoo there. There's a water play area for kiddos, but the ducks took it over, like the ducks do, I guess.
Yes.
They have a little remote control boat area there. Funny story. Beacon Hill Park is also home to Mile Zero on the Trans-Canadian Highway. Both ends of the Trans-Canadian Highway wanted to be zero.
So they're both zero.
So they're both zero.
The mile markers count up until they meet somewhere in the middle of Canada, and then you go back down the other way.
Yes,
so,
indeed.
You know, you got to keep everybody happy.
Yeah. There are a lot of ponds in Beacon Hill Park.
Excuse me, they're lakes.
They call them lakes, but they're small.
They're wee little things.
Yes. We learned that Queen Elizabeth II was visiting one of her many trips to Victoria. And I don't know if she was a part of the opening ceremony or what. I cannot remember what we were told. But she was all excited until she saw this little tiny pond. And then she was apparently a bit offended.
Yes. Queen's Lake in Beacon Hill Park is about half the size of a tennis court.
Yep.
She's tiny, like,
but it's cute.
This is really. There's also a statue of runner Terry Fox that's there near Beacon Hill Park. Terry Fox was a cancer survivor who had a leg amputated in 1977 due to illness. And he just loved to run. And so after he recovered, he just started running. And he wound up doing a marathon a day to raise money as he ran all the way across Canada was his goal. And sadly, he succumbed to cancer before he could finish. But his story was super inspirational to folks, and there's a Terry Fox Day every year that is celebrated in Canada, and it's one of those stories that that at least we're told every school kid in Canada knows the Terry Fox story.
We were actually up in Victoria a couple of weeks ago with our daughter Caitlin celebrating her 19th birthday.
Yeah,
we had been on a ship on her actual birthday, and she was not there.
Our first vacation without her.
Yep. So we wanted to spend some time with her, have a nice little birthday dinner, birthday little trip with her.
Yeah.
And thought Canada and Victoria would be a wonderful place to do this.
Especially because the drinking age is 19.
Yes, the drinking age is 19. Yep.
And so we are those parents.
We picked her up from college on our way up to Victoria. I mean, she's north. So
right. Wasn't far off the interstate.
Yeah. Went across the border and got onto the ferry to get to Victoria.
It was a really great trip. We had fantastic weather that day for sure. And we had dinner that night at a restaurant right there on the inner harbor that we've been to before. Absolutely loved. Fantastic food. And Caitlin got to have a peach Bellini. And she officially had her first drink. Well, close to home, at least. We did go drinking with her in Jamaica.
Yes, we did.
Over Christmas, but, you know, details, details.
Peach Bellini was good. We may have introduced her to Bailey's, too.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right.
That was nighttime because, you know, dinner.
Yeah.
And I have to say, from where we were, we could see the Parliament building across the way or across the harbor. And it is amazingly gorgeous at night. They have it lined with lights. It looked kind of like when they light up It's a Small World. Like, put all the lights all around it. Just, yeah.
There's the Disney content everybody was after.
Oh, there, yeah, there you go.
That's the angle. The BC Parliament really is It's a Small World.
Mm-hmm. Representing Canada.
That's right. We surprised Caitlin the next day. One of the things that was right next to our hotel, we were at the Hotel Grand Pacific, and right on the corner there between our hotel and the Parliament building is where a bunch of carriage rides kick off from. And so we went and did a 90-minute carriage ride tour all around Victoria, and it was a blast.
Yes.
We had so much fun. And we learned a lot. We heard a bunch of stories and basically discovered that everything in old Victoria, like the older areas of Victoria, it's all haunted. Like,
it's all haunted.
Somebody died. Everything's haunted. Mm-hmm. It's interesting. There's a ton of old architecture that's there that's been preserved really well. And we learned all about the elements of that architecture that mm-hmm. are supposed to, like, protect people from spirits and give spirits a way to get out and all sorts of stuff. Or, you know, somebody ran a lumber business and it burned down and they rebuilt it and it burned down again. And then they did something else and then they got, like, it was incredible. Although we were comforted to know that the Hotel Grand Pacific is the only hotel in downtown Victoria that's not haunted, and that's because it was built with feng shui in mind. So yep. mm-hmm. if you're worried about getting a good night's sleep, highly recommend the Hotel Grand Pacific.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, we never had any issues haunting-wise.
No. Back's a little sore still.
Oh my gosh.
That is a great hotel.
Yeah.
That bed was a sheet of plywood.
Yep.
It was.
We did learn on the carriage ride about the houses and how they qualified for historic status. And we learned about the paint and the paint colors that they used and yeah. what the most expensive paint was and what the least expensive paint was and why you see this brick red more often on barns is because it's the least expensive paint.
Right. They just threw a little rust in there.
Yeah.
And you're good to go.
And I think white was the most expensive.
White was the most expensive and the most expensive to keep up because you mm-hmm. constantly had to clean your house.
Yeah. Yeah.
Especially in the days when you had coal fires heating everything.
Yeah.
A white house wasn't exactly the way to go.
Those houses have to have, in order to maintain their historic status, they have some stained glass in there that cannot be changed or removed mm-hmm. at all. And they have to have 3 different colors of paint.
Yep. And many of those houses had 5, 6, 7 different colors of paint. Like, it's pretty neat.
It looked neat, yeah.
Yeah. We spent a little time that afternoon kind of recharging a little bit. I think Caitlin had some studying to do. I think I was editing a podcast episode, if I remember correctly. And then we headed over to the Fairmont Empress in our Sunday best because it was time for high tea at the Empress.
No, it was time for drinks at the queue before high tea at the Empress.
You have to pre-funk.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we went... Now, the Fairmont Empress is an exquisitely luxurious hotel.
And haunted.
And haunted. We have stayed at the Empress before mm-hmm. back in the before times, before mm-hmm. we even had kids.
Yep.
And it was, that was an amazing trip mm-hmm. in and of itself. The Empress is just a fantastic place to go. It's so comfortable. And I'll tell you what, their service there is top notch.
Yes.
There's a bar off the main lobby there called The Q, and we found a couple spots at the bar and had some libations before we went over to tea, and it was so comfortable. The drinks were so, so good.
Yes. We were here in October, I think. Was it October?
Yes, it was our Hawaii cruise. Yeah. We had a stop in.
Yeah, we stopped at the queue and we're like, why haven't we stopped here before? Because it was delicious.
We made sure to go back.
Yes.
And then it was time for high tea.
And let's see, both Nathan and Caitlin chose the same tea. And I was thinking about it too, but I was like, no.
Yes, we had the creamy Earl Grey, yes. Which, man. Like, this is tea service. Mm-hmm. This is very formal, very British tea service. And it's done on a tea set that was created to honor the Queen. The Queen has used this tea set. Obviously, I think they've probably been through a few cups and pots since then as things wear out. But it is absolutely an authentic high tea experience. And you get... Mm-hmm. You know, champagne, if you want to start out with a little champagne, finger sandwiches and snacks and this and that. And oh, it's so good.
You two got the creamy Earl Grey and I got the Empress's tea.
Yes.
And I've had their blend of tea before and I really liked it. I'm like, I'll do that one. Sure.
Yeah.
We had a great experience in October.
Yes.
This was hands down 100% better.
Yeah. Yeah, it went from a 5 out of 5 when we were there in October to this was a 7 out of 5. Like, our server was incredible. And she was like, oh, you like this? Well, let me bring you a pot of this other stuff because I think you might like this too. We had so much tea.
I don't know how we didn't float away. I swear I had probably 12 cups of tea.
I had 7 or 8 and I had 2 glasses of champagne.
So much.
Like, yeah, we were drinking a lot and we weren't like, not alcohol, just drinking. No,
just drinking. It's so good.
It was
such
amazing.
An amazing experience. We had the creamy Earl Grey, the Fairmont Empress blend, and our server recommended the blue suede.
Yes.
Which she said it was a green tea. It didn't taste like a green tea.
It's like a creamy green tea though.
Yeah. And it was blue.
Yeah. And it tasted really unique, but very, very good.
Yep. So we floated away. Yeah.
Yes. Indeed. It was fun. And then, we had a dinner at the hotel that night and drove home the next morning, had to drop Caitlin off at, back at school and go pick up Sterling from mom and dad and get back on with life.
I'll say if you live anywhere in the Pacific Northwest area and are thinking of going to Canada anytime, get a Nexus card.
Oh, yeah.
Because it saves you so much time. And I don't know what the cost is at now. We got ours like 10-something years ago. It saved us, I think, an hour and a half. In line on the way back?
Yeah, it saved a good hour on the way back.
It took us maybe 3 minutes to get through.
Yeah. The Nexus card is a partnership between the Border Patrol in the U.S. and in Canada. And you have to do an interview in person to get it. And it's only at a few locations. They're all right around the border. And it basically gives you a fast pass, if you will, a lightning lane to get through the border. And it's well worth it. But everybody in your car has to have the Nexus card. So keep that in mind.
And all we the do.
Yes. Now, the cool thing is it's $50. So it's actually cheaper than doing global entry, but you also get global entry. Yeah. It's cheaper than doing TSA PreCheck, but you also get TSA PreCheck. The only kicker is you need to be, you know, close enough to a place along the U.S.-Canadian border where you can go get one of those interviews done. But
yeah, it's not as convenient to get it initially. Yeah.
Yeah. But boy, is it worth it. Mm-hmm.
If you go to Canada, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. If you're going to go to Canada. Exactly. I think the other tip that I'd have is if you are going to be on a cruise that's hitting Victoria and you have more than 2 hours for a technical stop, get yourself into downtown. Like, there is a shuttle bus. It's just a, you know, I want to say it's like $4 or $5 or something like that to get downtown. Mm-hmm. And that's round trip. And you don't have to do an excursion in Victoria. Now, there's great excursions that you may want to do through your cruise line. And if something is really calling your name, absolutely go do it. But you can have an amazing day on your own and just kind of wing it. Mm-hmm. I would say if you know what your all aboard time is going to be and the timing works out, see if you can get high tea at the Empress. You know, you're going to have to dress up a bit, but it's worth it. It's absolutely worth it.
There are high tea places other than the Empress. So if you don't want to do that cost, just shop around a little bit, see what else there is. Because I saw plenty of hotels and B&Bs that offered high tea as well.
Got it. Good point. All right. Any other parting shots?
I want some tea now. But it's 9:40 at night, so yeah, I probably should.
Let's not do that.
Maybe in the morning.
We should have Bailey's.
Oh, yeah, I can do that. Okay.
All right, fair enough. All right, while we go do that, just a reminder, we are not affiliated with Disney or their subsidiaries or the Tourism Board of Victoria.
Yep,
we're independent, y'all. These are our personal opinions and suggestions based on our own experiences. We recommend working with a travel agent or contacting Disney directly to plan your perfect vacation.
If you have any questions or suggestions or would like to be interviewed on our show to share your experience, please send an email to podcast@ourmousecapades.com.
Please do give us a follow on social media. We're at Our Mousecapades. And please give us a rating and review in your podcast app. It really helps people find us. And of course, don't hesitate to share us with your friends and fellow Disney lovers of all ages.
Thank you for listening. We'll be in your ears next week.
Thank you for flying Star Tours. Bye-bye.